Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome in to the best of Drive Time Sports. It's here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Always a very busy time of the week. We have high school basketball, the 3A state championship tournament going on right now in Ridgefield. And so today we're going to play some different segments that we had here on the show. A little while back, I did one on the origins of the toy starting lineups. Loved those when I was a kid. Favorite player, you get your card. Loved them. Still have a ton of them that have never been opened. They're not worth anything. But boy, they were really, really cool when we were kids, weren't they? Also, we're going to do a segment on Happy Gilmore. We did this last week. Happy Gilmore, one of my favorite sports movies, celebrating 25 years. We got to interview a couple of people here on the show about that, Bob Barker and Vern Lundquist. So if you missed that segment, we're going to play that for you coming up in just a bit. Also, we had, I guess this kind of fits the theme of the show. We had an author who had a pack of baseball cards that were about 30 years old. He opened them and decided, okay, I'm going to write a book on each player in this deck. Kind of unique. So we went on this journey to find all the players that were in the pack of cards. It's called the Wax Pack. I thought it was a fun segment. We're going to play that as well. That's what we have coming up here on the best of Drive Time Sports. I think it'll be a fun show. We're going to be off and rolling here in just a moment on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
The choice is yours. Sutherland's Friends of the Family Plus Consumer Credit Card lets you choose from 5% off instantly at the register or special financing on qualifying purchases. That means no forms, no waiting, no rebates. You can choose 5% off instantly with your Sutherland's Credit Card. Got a big project? Choose special financing. The choice is yours with Sutherland's Friends of the Family Plus Consumer Credit Card. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payment required. See store for details. Only at Sutherland's.
Tired of your worn-out, dated kitchen cabinets? Painting them is an easy way to make them look new and refresh your entire kitchen. Benjamin Moore Advance makes painting cabinets a snap. Whether brushed, rolled, or sprayed, Advance leaves a smooth, durable finish with the added benefit of easy soap and water cleanup. Available in high-gloss, semi-gloss, satin, and matte finishes, and it's available in thousands of famous Benjamin Moore colors, so you are sure to get the perfect color and elegant look your cabinets deserve. Come into Spectrum Paint Supply today, 80 South, 100 West.
As a mom, I felt like my kids were slipping away. I just wanted to spend time with them. But with our fast-paced life, it just wasn't possible. Besides, what kid wants to hang out with their mom? That was until I found the Price Theaters. So now I take time with each of my kids and take them to a movie. No, we can't talk during the movie, but we're together, and the conversation afterwards is the best. So as one busy mom to another, take your kid to the movies tonight. It'll give you things to talk about for a lifetime.
For some children, visiting the dentist for the first time can be a little stressful. Price Pediatric Dental understands and has some tips to ease a child's anxiety. Bring your child in to meet the staff and tour the office before any dental work is done. They can even sit in the dentist chair and have a conversation. This will allow him or her to become familiar with the staff and office environment. Price Pediatric Dental specializes in making sure a child's visit is a positive one. Call to schedule an appointment today at 637-9590.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
This is Evel Knievel and the Evel Knievel Shock Absorbing Evel Shock Cycle. Knievel. And for that big jump, here's Evel. Up and over that four-foot ditch.
From Kenner's Star Wars collection, each sold separately. Large-sized Darth Vader with his lightsaber.
They got real respiration.
I'm Swart Hogan with my new Mach 2 master.
On you WWF figure so close to the real thing. Ah, it's like being in the ring.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios. Right now, not a whole lot going on, obviously, in the national sports front. And so that opens up the door for us to have conversations about sports-related books, sports movies, in this case today, sports toys. And I've held off for many years because we've had a great track record of getting professional athletes, well-known coaches, well-known authors and writers on this show. We've actually done a phenomenal job with that over the past 10 years. There's one man that I have not been able to track down. I have not been able to contact, and I have exhausted every avenue. Pat McAnally. McAnally played in the NFL for many years with the Cincinnati Bengals. He was a punter, went to a Super Bowl. He was an All-American at Harvard. He's really known for two things. One, by the numbers, he's the smartest player to ever play in the NFL. You know the Wunderlich test? We've had conversations about the Wunderlich test. I took it once here on the show. They give it to the college kids as they're going into the NFL. It's part of the pre-draft process. Pat McAnally is the only documented player to score a perfect 50 on that test. Again, Harvard grad. Yeah, it's to be expected, right? Well, it's pretty difficult. Only one person's ever done it. Pat McAnally. Two, he created starting lineups that were released in 1988. And really, McAnally's story is fascinating. As I really started researching heavily into starting lineups, because we all know about the toys itself. They started off basketball, football, baseball, 4 to 5 inch figures. They'd come with a card as well. Sometimes they'd come with a medallion or they'd come with a poster. In the early editions on the back, there would be like a checklist. For every team, you would see the 3 to 4 players that they made for each squad. So it was like pulling a checklist card out of a pack of cards. So we know about that. But the story of Pat McAnally and starting lineups, I think it's extremely unique. So let's start by talking about Pat McAnally. As I mentioned, only player to ever score a perfect 50 on the Wunderlich test. Comes out of Harvard. He's selected in the 5th round of the 1975 NFL draft. Same draft as Walter Payton, by the way. And you may or may not know that from 1934 to 1976, there was an exhibition game where the defending Super Bowl champs would play the college All-Americans from that draft class. So after the draft, this was a real game, and we're talking about the real Super Bowl champions. Pat McAnally was an All-American. He got to play in this game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the real Steelers. Terry Bradshaw, the Steel Curtain. Yes, this was a very real thing that took place for about 42 years. That's where Pat McAnally's story on the route to inventing starting lineups, which made something like $700 to $800 million for Kenner, that's where it started.
From Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois, it's the College All-Stars versus the National Football League champion Pittsburgh Steelers in the 42nd College All-Star Football Game.
McAnally, 84 from Harvard, 6'6", is in at the wide receiver position left side as Bartkowski has time, runs it, he's got McAnally wide open! Touchdown! And McAnally is carried from the field by two of his teammates.
All right, so there's the clip. McAnally breaks his leg. That Super Bowl champion versus the college All-Americans, that game only takes place for one more season. The next year, it was a monsoon. The game was called in the third quarter, and then it just kind of fizzled out because NFL owners didn't really want their draft picks going up against Super Bowl champions. I mean, we're talking about kids going up against grown men. So that game fizzles out 2 years later. That's beside the point. The big factor here is McAnally breaks his leg. And I've seen interviews with McAnally where he says, had he not broken his leg, he doesn't know if the Bengals would have kept him around on the roster. Right, so they keep him around. There's a couple of trades that take place. A couple of players are released. McAnally makes the team in 1976. He punts for Cincinnati from 76 to 1985. He did play a little bit of wide receiver as well, but he's known as a punter for the Cincinnati Bengals. So that's 9 years he plays for the Bengals. During his time with Cincinnati, McAnally comes up with an idea to write a column for a local newspaper. It's called Pat Answers for Kids. And this column, it basically allows parents to ask questions about their kids. How do they throw the football properly? How does my kid get into shape in this route? Pat pitches it to a local newspaper in Cincinnati, and he sells the column for $50. big deal, $50, right? This is where Pat McAnally, business-wise, was on another level. He sold that particular piece to that newspaper for $50. He's into it for syndication. While he's with the Bengals, every time the team goes on the road, he goes to that city's local newspaper and he pitches to sell that column again for $50. It's syndicated. Before you know it, Pat McAnally is bringing in all this money off syndication from a paper column that he wrote while he was with the Bengals. That's key to this story as well. Mid-80s, things start settling down for McAnally. He knows that football is probably coming to an end. He's not going to be in Cincinnati much longer. He sells his condo. The man that buys his condo is Bruce Stein. He's the senior vice president of marketing for Kenner Toys. He and McAnally begin to have conversations, and Bruce Stein realizes, I'm talking to a guy who's a professional athlete, Harvard grad, and he's been writing a paper column for kids. Boy, this works hand in hand with the toy industry. It's an adult who's been talking to kids. So he asks McAnally to come up with an idea for a toy. McAnally originally pitched him something about Dinosaur World, where dinosaurs played positions. Okay, that gets scrapped. McAnally and Stein go to the toy store, and McAnally picks up G.I. Joe. Now, here's a clip. This is from NFL Films, McAnally talking about the idea from a G.I. Joe that turned into starting lineups.
I've always loved toys, and the guy's name was Bazooka Bill, and his primary job was to carry the bazooka. They had built this whole bio around this character that had been created. I said, everyone knows who Walter Payton is. You don't have to make that up, so why don't we make three-dimensional baseball, football, basketball cards?
So now we have the idea of starting lineups. McAnally takes this idea to the board at Kenner. They love it. A couple of other hurdles that they got to make sure they jump. That's making sure that the players' unions can all come together, that the teams are getting their share, the players are getting their share. McAnally had been working through the back door. He had it set, fixed in the NFL. Later, they get it worked out with the NBA. They get it worked out with Major League Baseball. And here's where the fun begins for us kids and the collectors of today. 1988, starting lineups hit the scene.
Where they expected a lot of people to buy a couple, it was fewer people that bought hundreds. People would literally wait at these toy stores. Sometimes the employees would buy all of them and then sell them out the back door. They never got to the shelves.
To be a winner, be strong, be ready to fight. To be a winner, be fast, command the spotlight.
Only today's greatest sports heroes make it to starting lineup. Collect basketball's Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, and Magic Johnson. Detailed uniforms, every home team, and they're official. Collect starting lineup, each sold separately.
To be a winner.
That's the NBA commercial, the original NBA commercial. And here's what's fascinating about starting lineups in 1988. They produced 124 Major League Baseball players, 137 NFL players, and 85 NBA players. That was in the first set. Now, I want you to think about that in terms of baseball and basketball cards. In 1988, the Fleer NBA card set had 132 cards counting the checklist. So in 1988, there were 137 NFL players that got their own starting lineup. Think about that. And from a collector's standpoint, here's what made them so unique. No two players were made in the same quantity. So you had your all-star lots. Those were national releases. Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Dominique Wilkins. Those were the all-star cases. Now, the lesser-known players, the role players with on a team, they were distributed through team cases, and they went to the team state, so they were released regionally. So all-star players, you're looking at 25 to 40,000 quantities of Michael Jordan's, Larry Bird's, Magic Johnson's. Regional players, like here in the state of Utah, again, role players, Mark Eaton, Thurl Bailey. At that time, John Stockton, Karl Malone, they weren't superstars yet at that particular time. They'd be released throughout the state of Utah. Just to give you some of the names that were released in the first year, Michael Cage, Mo Cheeks, Paul Pressey, Rodney McRae, Sam Perkins, Terry Cummings, Walter Berry, Xavier McDaniel, Wayman Tisdale, Winston Garland. You see, they weren't all superstars, and that's what made it so great. I mean, I grew up a Laker fan. I had Byron Scott and Michael Cooper and Vlade Divac and James Worthy. Of course, I had Magic and Kareem, but you could find the role players, and that's what was so spectacular about starting lineups. Now, I bring up the regional releases because right now, to this day, collectors have the idea of a holy grail of starting lineups. Basketball, football, baseball, hockey, NASCAR, it doesn't matter. The holy grail. There's four extremely sought-after starting lineups, and they come out in 1988. Karl Malone, John Stockton, Mark Eaton, and Thurl Bailey. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there is no such thing as a Mark Eaton or Thurl Bailey in the box. Because, again, we're talking 4,000 maximum. Now, I saw them as a kid. I remember seeing them as a kid. Nobody really wanted them. In fact, I do have a John Stockton. My sister got a John Stockton. She liked him as a kid. It's opened. It's in good shape, but it's not complete. I believe I have the card. I have the Stockton toy, but it's not in the box. Still, it's highly sought after. As a result, the rarest and most collectible starting lineups to this day come from the Utah Jazz because, again, in that inaugural 88 set, they went out regionally with about 4,000 pieces. So if you have the set, an unopened set of John Stockton, Karl Malone, Mark Eaton, and Thurl Bailey, you probably have about $5,000 to $6,000 minimum worth of starting lineups right there. Now, they continue to produce starting lineups, 89, 90, 91, 92. They produce them all the way up to 2000. But each year, they started cutting back on the amount of players that you had to choose from. So if you grab the back of an 88, 89 box, or if you find one online, it'll have the team's logo and it'll tell you which players were released per team. And going back to those numbers, the first year they were produced, 124 baseball players, 137 NFL players, 85 NBA players. That decreased slightly until we get to the mid-90s, 96, 97. Then it's gone from 85 NBA players down to like 20, 25 NBA players. And that definitely affected the collection a little bit. Because in the clip that we played from McAnally, he's talking about a lot of these never even hit the shelves. Right? I remember if you'd walk into a toy store or a Walmart, KB Toys, wherever it is, you walk into a shop, if you could find a box of starting lineups that was still unopened, you hit the gold mine. You have no idea what you're going to find. Is it Dennis Rodman with his red hair or his green hair? Because those two, they have different values, right? So when we got a little bit deeper into the 90s, you started to see the rising cost of sports licensing deals. Those became massively expensive. Today, sports leagues basically, they print their own money. NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, starting lineup, they're a casualty of that right there. The generation that grew up around starting lineups loved the idea of the hunt. And another thing that really killed starting lineups, it was the internet. I mean, for instance, today I'm talking about the Utah Jazz set. Well, when they were initially released, and if you collected them, and you wanted the Utah Jazz set of Stockton, Malone, Bailey, and Eaton, and you lived in Colorado, the only way you're getting that set is if you drive to Utah and come across them. There were a lot of starting lineups that were only released regionally. The internet kills that because you can get what you want whenever you want. If there's an online sell, say you're looking at a collectible from Disney, and the Disney store has an online sell only, if they sell out before you get one, you can hop on eBay and it's right there. See, it kills the hunt. And I thought that really, really hurt starting lineups. Took a lot of fun out of it as well. And again, NBA, NHL, NFL lines, they were all done by 2000. The final baseball set was produced in 2001, and it had maybe 16, 17 players. There wasn't a lot of them. And I'll tell you another thing about starting lineups. I have plenty from that 88 series. I have Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They're not worth that much. They top out at about $40 to $50. Very few starting lineups are worth a ton of money. There are a few, though. Okay, so we talked about the Utah Jazz set. That's the holy grail of starting lineup collections. In 1994, there was a Cooperstown collection. For some reason, they accidentally printed Jackie Robinson's jersey with number 44 instead of number 42. I actually have this Jackie Robinson figure. He's not wearing 44, though. He's wearing 42. If you find one of those, nab it. It's worth a lot of money. There's a 1992 version of Magic Johnson. He was supposed to be wearing a purple uniform. Very limited set of Magic in a yellow uniform were released. That's worth a lot of money. 1994, Dennis Rodman with red hair. Extremely unique. 1989 football, Ken O'Brien with a misspelled name. And then there were very few boxing starting lineups released, but in 95 they came out with Rocky Marciano. Apparently, if you find one of those with brown hair, it's very, very rare. I'll end it with this. This is a funny story. Going back to 1988, when they released the NFL, Kenner had mass-produced Dan Fouts, quarterback for the San Diego Chargers. Before that 88 line could be released, Dan Fouts retired. And so Kenner had a boatload of Dan Fouts' heads. They put it on the body of Dave Craig. So if you find a Dave Craig starting lineup from 1988, it looks nothing like him because Dave Craig didn't have a beard. And in the card, he's wearing his football helmet, the card that comes with the toy. Interesting tidbit. Dan Fouts' head on Dave Craig's body because Kenner didn't know what to do with all these mass-produced Dan Fouts heads. Starting lineups, big piece of my childhood, definitely a fun conversation to have, and hopefully now you'll go back and start looking at some of your old starting lineups, or at least looking them up online. We are out of time on this edition of the show. We will be back to do it again tomorrow. I want to thank Larry Pepe for taking out the time to join us. Always great to get Larry on the show and talk MMA. Until tomorrow, be safe. I am out.
Imagine having the perfect snow shovel, one that takes the work out of shoveling the snow. One where the snow doesn't stick, it just rolls off the blade like a plow. A shovel with a 6-year guarantee against breakage that has a D-grip handle and is lightweight. Hi, this is Alan at Peterson Chemical and Janitorial, and we've been selling the Bigfoot Snow Shovel for over 30 years. Come on down to 373 South, 100 West in Price, and get yours today. That's Peterson Chemical Company.
Remodeling a house can be fun, stressful, exciting, and sometimes cause serious anxiety. Let Nichols Remodeling and Construction help. A company that values their customers, going the extra mile to make sure they're satisfied and the job is done right the first time. Nichols has full-time painters on staff and a custom cabinetry shop. How many other remodeling companies can say that? From tile to excavation, they do it all. Call Jackson Nichols at 630-8687 to schedule an appointment.
Hey, Tom, you just roofed your house, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did. I saved a ton of money doing it myself, too.
Who did you hire to haul all the bundles of shingles to the top of the roof?
I didn't have to hire anyone. I bought my roofing at Magnuson Lumber. They delivered it rooftop for me.
I didn't know anyone did that. It had to cost a lot.
Actually, no. And it saved my back and a whole lot of time. Stop by their store in Castledale and get your roof done so we can go fishing.
When you think home improvements, think Magnuson Lumber in Castledale. They carry what you're looking for to get your home improvement projects done.
Let's talk diesel engines, because at Landon's Diesel, diesel is what they do best. Landon's Diesel prides themselves on being diesel experts, so why would you take your diesel vehicle for even a simple oil change to anyone else? At Landon's Diesel, their staff is trained and certified to keep your diesel running properly. You drive a diesel for a reason: great fuel mileage, power, and dependability, so make sure you treat it to an oil change by diesel engine experts at Landon's Diesel on 300 West in Price.
What could be better than high school football and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? What could be better than an afternoon soccer game and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? What could be better than a baseball game and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? You get the point, right? Everything is better when you add a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Eating that juicy golden fried chicken and watching your team play live is the best combination ever. Get to KFC before your next game.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome back into Drive Time Sports. Let's spend this segment talking about the anniversary of a sports movie. We do that from time to time. Last year, we had Anthony C. Hall on the show when we were talking about the anniversary of Blue Chips. It's a great movie. One of my favorite basketball movies. And just to tell you how fast time flies, on this date back in 1996, Happy Gilmore was released into the theaters. 25 years ago today, that movie came out. Everybody's seen Happy Gilmore. And if it's been a while, maybe you forgot just how funny it is. Here's the classic trailer.
For 400 years, golf has been a gentleman's game. A game of tradition, etiquette, and above all, sportsmanship. Until now.
Y'all ready for this? Yeah!
Meet Happy Gilmore. He was a hockey player.
That's my puck, baby! Don't you ever touch my puck!
Who was skating on thin ice. But when his grandma needed his help...
Mrs. Gilmore owes the IRS $270,000. We're gonna have to sell the house to someone else.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
He discovered a new talent.
That house is like 400 yards away. That's unbelievable.
Now he's going from the links...
Step right up, folks! See if you can outdrive the amazing golf ball, whacker guy!
To the links.
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
I'm your caddy.
He's going to be on the tour. That's super.
Universal Pictures presents Adam Sandler.
The price is wrong, Bob.
As golf's missing link, Happy Gilmore.
It is my favorite sports comedy of all time. It's tough to say. I would put it above Caddyshack. It's tough to say, but I would. And maybe it's an age thing. You know, I was 10 when this movie came out. And I could actually quote this movie word for word. Like right now, I could just quote the entire script word for word. We have to do best of shows from time to time. Like if I want to take a day off or if I got to travel out of the area for a basketball game, we have to do best of shows. And so I had this idea a long time ago that I would accumulate enough interviews to do a best of Happy Gilmore show. And that was the goal. And I nailed two of the more difficult interviews. I've come up short as far as Carl Weathers or Adam Sandler or Christopher McDonald, but two names that are well known that really add to the comedy of this flick are Bob Barker and Vern Lundquist. And we had both of those guys on the show. And so for me, it was a golden opportunity, right? I mean, how can you have Bob Barker on Drive Time Sports and not talk to him about Happy Gilmore? And the scene is just epically classic.
Guy's driving me crazy.
You know what's driving me crazy? You not getting the ball in the hole.
Don't push me, Bob. Now's not the time.
I can't believe you're a professional golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
You better relax, Bob.
There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go. Oh! You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing!
So how in the world did Adam Sandler rope in Bob Barker for that specific scene? Well, it's been about 8 years now since I conducted that interview here on Drive Time Sports, but I did ask Bob Barker just that. Mr. Bob Barker, before I let you go, I gotta go back over and talk some sports. Obviously, one of the greatest, greatest scenes in movie history as far as sports go, that's you and Happy Gilmore. I gotta ask you about that.
Jordan, you know, that movie was released in 1994, and I did Price is Right until 2007, and I never did a show after the movie was released that the audience didn't want to talk about Happy Gilmore, right up till the last day I was there, and particularly young men. They loved that scene. They loved it. They used to ask me, could you really whip Adam? Could you really beat up Adam in real life, could you? And I'd say, are you kidding? Adam Sandler couldn't whip Regis Philbin. I went up there to do that movie. We did it in Canada, or at least my scenes were in Canada. And so I was at a hotel there the night before, and the director came over, and he said... we went over the script, and he said, Bob, don't worry about those fight scenes. He said, I have a double, and he'll do the fight scenes for you. And I said, are you kidding? I said, I'm up here. I said, I've been studying karate with Chuck Norris for probably 12, 15 years now, and I have never won a fight. Chuck comes over and beats me up every day that we work out. And I said, I came up here to win a fight. And I said, I'm going to do my own fighting. And so he said, fine, go for it, man.
one of the great scenes in sports movie history. I love it when Adam says, now you're going to get it, Bobby. You just take him to Funky Town.
Well, Chuck saw the movie and he was proud of me.
How did you get that part? How did that whole negotiation process go?
Well, believe it or not, Adam, you know, he's a pretty talented guy, and he's not just an actor and owner and producer of his movies. He helps in the writing. And he wrote the whole scene with me, without me even knowing it. And he wanted me to, I guess it was because it was so out of character for me, he wanted me to come over there and beat him up. And so when they called me and asked me if I'd come over and do this fight scene, I said, well, who wins the fight? And they said, you win the fight. I said, I'll be there.
Again, that was a previous interview with Bob Barker here on Drive Time Sports, one of my favorite interviews that I've ever had the pleasure of doing. The other one was Vern Lundquist. And if you're a play-by-play nut like I am, I love it. I love all things play-by-play. I've had the opportunity to talk to several legendary announcers, and Vern Lundquist has got to be close to the top of that list. No question. This guy is legendary in every sense. You could go through all the calls that Vern Lundquist has made. And even when Happy Gilmore first came out, I mean, I was like 10. Vern Lundquist to me was hilarious. That here's one of the best commentators in the sport. It just brought a level of realness to a very slapstick style of humor. Here's just a couple of those epic calls in this movie.
The golfers of the Tour Championship are ready to hit the links. There may be 63 professionals vying for the title of world's best, but in the minds of the spectators, there are really only two. Tour kingpin Shooter McGavin and bad boy Happy Gilmore, fresh off his recent suspension. And wouldn't you know it, they've been paired together. After one day, Shooter McGavin is in the lead, but the big surprise is young Happy Gilmore, nipping at his heels and trailing by only one stroke. Shooter from the sand, playing like he really wants that jacket. I knew Happy Gilmore was tough, but I can't believe he's going to keep playing after being hit by that car. Oh, this looks like the end for Happy Gilmore. Shooter now has a commanding lead. Gilmore can sink this. It will cap an amazing comeback.
Oh my God! Incredible! Happy Gilmore wins the gold jacket.
All right, so again, if you have Vern Lundquist on Drive Time Sports, you have to ask him about Happy Gilmore. This was like a 30-minute interview, but fit in a couple of minutes to talk about Happy Gilmore. I'd be doing myself a disservice, rather, if I didn't bring this up. We just had Bob Barker on the show with us not too long ago, and he went down, talked about his time in the movie Happy Gilmore. You actually played a very big role in that film as well.
Yeah, and it comes up all the time.
Of course it does.
That's not bad. That film was made in 1996. My part of it was all done in one day in Vancouver. But it's the greatest thing for me is that it's become kind of a cult classic with college kids. And of course, I spent almost all my working life in college campuses. And just recently, I was in New York last week, and I did a workshop at Fordham University for radio and television majors. And I did a little biographical presentation, and then we opened it up for Q&A, and I probably had 30 people in there. And the very first question was, please tell us about the experience of doing Happy Gilmore. So it's a good thing. I mean, I'm in my early 70s, and I'm dealing with kids in their upper teens or early 20s, and to have that movie out there and them enjoy watching it gives me a little bit of a contact with them that is very, very appreciated.
Yeah, so, I mean, when we talk Duke, Kentucky, you talk to 50th Masters, all these great calls that you've had, including, you know, 2006, we can go to the NCAA Men's Basketball Regionals, all that still, it's up there with Who the Hell is Happy Gilmore? That's got to be one of your famous calls, right?
That's it. That'll be on my tombstone.
Classic. Those are two of my favorite interviews. Seriously, two of my favorites. When you look at the history of this movie, the budget was $12 million. And to the box office, it went on to gross $41 million. And then I think the most epic scene of all, it's Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore. And that's one of the most epic sports movies, fictional sports movie scenes ever. You just don't expect it, right? The cult following that this movie has, it's epic and legendary. I mean, there were kids who weren't even alive when this movie was released that can quote it because it's that fantastic. It also was the breakout movie in my mind for Adam Sandler. And I think one of the more hilarious facts about this movie, the scene with Bob Barker beating up Happy, it actually increased the ratings for The Price is Right among younger demographics. And as you heard in that clip, that interview that we had with Bob Barker, he said every day someone asked him about that movie. Every day. And it was probably a younger generation. And when you look at the pop culture impact, I mean, it's ever growing. It's not going anywhere. It's one of my favorite movies ever. And the fact that that came out 25 years ago today, I thought we had to play a couple of clips and take a break from the normal sports talk here on Drive Time Sports, play a couple of the clips from Vern Lundquist and Bob Barker, and of course some of the scenes from the movie. 25 years ago today, Happy Gilmore was released. Go home and watch it tonight. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll be back in just a moment right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
JN Auto says it's time to get in the auto buying game. JN Auto is a game changer when you're looking for a new vehicle but don't want to pay the new vehicle price. By making JN Auto a part of your team, you can count on finding quality, gently used vehicles with manufacturer warranties and unbeatable prices. You just found the secret to finding the perfect vehicle. It's JN Auto. Check out their huge inventory at jnautosales.com. JN Auto in Huntington and Price.
Your car, you depend on it to get your family where they need to go. But as a busy mom, the last thing you need is more stress or worry. So leave your car care to the experts at Gray Coast Tire Pros. They're more than just tires. They've got your entire vehicle maintenance covered, from brakes and oil changes to an AC recharge and so much more. Gray Coast will make sure your car is in top shape to keep up with your schedule. Nothing slows you down faster than car problems. Keep yours running smooth with Gray Coast Tire Pros, where everything rolls around you.
You hear that? Yeah, me too. Who wants to go out in this? I do. This winter, get your family and friends together and get to Gateway Lanes. Gateway has open bowling Monday through Saturday, and the snack bar is open. Times for open bowling are Monday through Thursday, noon to 5:30, and noon to close on Friday and Saturday. 94th South Main and Helper. Gateway Lanes can help ease the pain of your winter blues.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports live from the Auto Farm Studios. I think this next guest and story is going to be extremely interesting. We've had a number of authors on this show over the last 10 years, but none quite like this. There's a new book that is going to be released tomorrow. It's called The Wax Pack, On the Open Road in Search of Baseball's Afterlife. It's written by Brad Balukjian, and he is joining us right now over the phone to talk about not only the inspiration for this story, but how it all came together. Brad, first off, it's a pleasure. I appreciate the time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to this conversation because, well, your story, your book, it is so unique. I've never heard anything like it. So let me get this straight. You came across a pack of 1986 Topps baseball cards that was sealed. You opened it and decided to track down each player in that pack.
Yeah, and to be fair, it wasn't completely serendipitous. I mean, I had the idea, having collected cards from that era, that we really need to get a pack that had never been opened and use that pack as sort of the device to figure out, you know, what happens to these guys after they're done playing, the guys that I grew up watching. So I ended up getting a pack that had never been opened before, and then that was sort of, I said, okay, whatever. You know, just like you're playing cards and you get a hand dealt to you, whatever hand is dealt, that's what you got to play. That was the device for how to kickstart the book project.
It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And I think so many people can relate to this because who didn't collect baseball cards as a kid, right? Everybody did.
Exactly. No, it's a generational thing. I mean, I call, you know, baseball, I'm 39 years old right now, so, you know, my generation, my era, our iPhone was baseball cards, right? I mean, that's what we spent our time staring at and poring over.
We hit these days with no sports going on. I've been kind of trying to dissect and find new things that we can talk about. And one of the things that I collected as a kid, it was starting lineups, right? And the idea behind a starting lineup was to make a 3D card, something that was actually there. It was living. So when you talk about baseball cards becoming the iPhone, that resonates, right? And you decided to take a pack of baseball cards and turn it into real life. So to me, this is the ultimate starting lineup.
Yeah, it's a good point that, I mean, the starting lineup figures, I mean, all of that just goes to this idea that, I mean, you're taking these, you have these objects, the cards, the figures that represent these people, and we sometimes forget that they're like real people, right? That, you know, because as kids, we sort of see them as these larger-than-life kind of gods. And I think one of the really neat things for me about writing this book and taking this journey, because I drove 11,000 miles in 7 weeks to find all these guys, was it kind of, in a very satisfying, comforting way, kind of demystified that hero complex that we give to these guys. And in the sense that I finished the book and they're still heroic to me, but not for the same reasons as they were as a kid. In other words, like, what really impressed me about them was their willingness to be very open and to be vulnerable and talking about a lot of things in their lives off the field that really humanize them.
Again, our guest right now is Brad Baloukjian, who wrote the book The Wax Pack. It'll be released tomorrow. A fascinating story. Let's dive into it, Brad. When you opened up The Wax Pack, tell me the players that you pulled out.
Sure. Well, so I'm kind of a weirdo. As a kid, I liked the guys that were not the stars. So, you know, most people, when they got to Dwight Gooden or Carlton Fisk, who were both in the pack, would be really excited. I was more disappointed because I was more excited by Don Carmen and Steve Yeager and Lee Mazzilli, the guys that were, I mean, these really were the guys that when I was a kid, I always liked those underdog players because I myself identified as an underdog. It's also because I just knew that, you know, when you try to write about people like Carlton Fisk and Doc Gooden, first of all, they might not talk to me, and second of all, how do you write about them in an original way because they've been, you know, chronicled so much.
I'm glad you brought up Steve Yeager. Being a Dodger fan, this was obviously the first name that I noticed on the list. Here's a guy that was a 1981 World Series champ. He was a 1981 World Series MVP, and that happened to be the same time frame where he demanded a trade from the Dodgers. Fascinating guy from a player's perspective. And so Steve Yeager was one of the names that I immediately jumped out at me. What was it like catching up with Steve Yeager, and what were some of the challenges for this particular player?
Well, with Yeager, so, you know, you read the file on him, you can do your research, and it's like, you know, he comes across as this, like, outgoing, kind of cocky guy, like, big party animal. So I'm thinking, like, oh, you know, because when I would approach each player, I would try to get them out of their typical environment and try to do something fun. Like, I go to the gym with one guy, go to the zoo with someone. So with Yeager, I thought, oh, let's go drinking, like, let's go party, right? So I get there and I bring it up, and he tells me that he hasn't had a drop of alcohol since 1987, which is when he retired, and that ended up being something that was a common theme where a lot of guys, they got so depressed or so down when they stopped playing that either they started drinking a lot or they stopped drinking completely because they knew that that was going to lead them in a bad direction. So that was sort of the first curveball with Yeager. The second one was, again, I expected him to be kind of a little more of the kind of gruff personality and maybe not to let down his guard. But within a few minutes of talking, he was telling me about his relationship with his father and or lack of relationship, and how even though he was really close to his dad was an alcoholic, and the first time he came to watch him play a game in Cincinnati, his dad got so drunk he passed out in the clubhouse, and how much that embarrassed him and really, you know, kind of ruined the relationship he had with his own father. And then it was really touching to see how Yeager has not repeated that same cycle, and that I got to meet one of his sons, Evan, who at the time was a college catcher, just like his dad, and to be able to see how close Yeager is with his son, you know, and how close their relationship is was really touching, considering what the trauma that he had been through with his own father.
Again, our guest right now, Brad Baloukjian, as we talk about his book, The Wax Pack. Fascinating story with Steve Yeager. Can you think of another story, Brad, off the top of your head, maybe one that wasn't exactly, you didn't have much, I guess, expectations for it, but by the time you sat down with this particular player, it turned out to be a pleasant surprise. Did that exist at all on this journey?
Yeah, I mean, plenty of times where guys, I mean, again, the one of the things that came up again was how many of them had these troubled relationships with their dads and how many of them got kind of emotional talking about that. Rick Sutcliffe, Don Carmen, Randy Reddy, several of these guys, you know, had that experience. And I didn't go in knowing that was going to be the case. So it's interesting that that would be such a common thread with these guys. And I was, you know, kind of taken off guard by some of that.
What were the difficulties that you encountered in trying to set this up? Once you open up the pack, you pull out your cards, you know who you have to try to track down. I know one player was deceased, if I remember correctly, just from reading the synopsis. So when you pull these cards out and you sit down to try to track these players down, what was the biggest hurdle you had to overcome?
Well, I think initially it's, you know, the fact that I didn't have a book deal, I didn't have an advance, I didn't have a resume in sports writing. I mean, it's not like I could call up and say, hey, you know, I'm Bob Costas, let's sit down. So to me, that's a testament to the fact that most of these guys were so willing to talk and so generous with their time. I mean, that's all about them being appreciative of, you know, their fans and their career. So it was trying to get the chance to talk to them. And then some of the star players, as I mentioned, Carlton Fisk, you know, he wouldn't talk to me. So for Fisk, I had to say, okay, well, what am I going to do? Do I just skip that card entirely? But no, I wanted to write a chapter on each player. So for Fisk, I found out from a source where he golfs in this really private resort in Sarasota, Florida. And I posed as a millionaire prospective home buyer to sneak onto the golf course to try to ambush him. So I went through some pretty extreme rogue tactics to try to get to these guys if they wouldn't talk to me, and I think it makes for some fun reading.
What could go wrong, right? It's pretty simple.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Again, our guest right now, Brad Baloukjian. He is the author of The Wax Pack. This book will be released tomorrow. It's going to be a fascinating read. He opened up a pack of baseball cards that were set in 1986, tracked down each of these players. When the book is complete, Brad, and you go back, obviously the journey is something that you can never put on page, right? These are visual thoughts. These are visual experiences, personal experiences that you're going to have forever. At what point in time, or did it ever occur to you, like, man, maybe this isn't worth it?
Well, I think when I was probably after the first leg in California, and I'm driving in Fort Stockton, Texas, and running out of oil, and like I'm eating crappy food, and now I find out, oh, the next guy, Gary Pettis, might not talk to me. I mean, there were those moments where I was like, what am I doing? I mean, I'm going out of pocket thousands of dollars to do this. What if the rest, even though I had a good start, what if these guys don't talk to me? But I weathered that storm. I always believed in the bigger vision of the project, which was that this really is not just about baseball, but it's about these guys. And it's about their lives, but also the journey, literally the journey of trying to find them. So I knew even if a guy wouldn't talk to me, I can always, you know, write about that experience of trying to get to the guy and to be honest about my own feelings of disappointment and, you know, failure and so forth, because I'm very much an active character in the book. So it's unusual. Most sports books aren't like that, you know, where you have the narrator or the author as a character very much in the narrative itself.
Correct. Yeah, that definitely is a new take on it. And I guess I should ask the question, did every player eventually talk to you?
No. So I never got to speak to Dwight Gooden, for example, even though I was literally in his living room looking at all of the stuff in his house, which I know sounds maybe like, no, I did not break and enter there. I was granted access by his son, but he no-showed our appearance. And so I got very close, but not actually an audience with him. I didn't speak to him. I didn't speak to Vince Coleman. But I, so for him, I went around Jacksonville, Florida, retracing his childhood. And Gary Pettis was actually, he still is the coach for the Astros. And he was basically, all the coaches for the Astros were told not to talk to the media by A.J. Hinch that year. So sort of not really Gary's fault, but wasn't able to speak to him.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why. with all that being said, if you go back over the course of it and you kind of, you know, recollect all the memories that you had with one another, who was the most difficult that you got to speak to?
I think the only guy that was a little guarded was Richie Hebner. And it may be because he was still coaching, actively coaching, so I was catching him in the middle of the season before a game. So, I mean, he strikes me as a guy that if he lets his guard down, has plenty to say. But I didn't. I only had limited time with him, and so I couldn't. I didn't feel like I really got, you know, as much into his backstory as I did with other guys.
Once you tell these guys what you're doing, okay, I opened up this wax pack. This is what you were in this particular pack of cards. Now I'm trying to track down everyone. Was the reception from these guys mostly, wow, okay, this is an original, unique idea?
Yeah, they were generally impressed by my willingness to, you know, go to these extremes to drive all over the country to find them. I think they thought it was kind of a clever idea. You know, these guys are not, I mean, they're not overly nostalgic about their careers or having been baseball players. I was sort of surprised that they weren't even necessarily that interested in talking about all that. But I think they appreciated sort of my drive, my gumption to make this thing happen.
Brad, would you do this again? Would you ever consider a sequel, maybe with basketball or football?
No, I get asked that a lot, and the answer is no, because not that I wouldn't enjoy it, but I just don't think it could ever be as good. You know, I think I certainly hope other people would. I would love other people to go do this, but you know, I mean, maybe outside of The Godfather and Star Wars, are there ever any sequels that are as good?
No, very rarely.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
So, yeah. I mean, there's other things. I mean, I'm generally interested and attracted to topics that where I can explore some of these deeper universal themes, and the journey and the quest is certainly an attractive idea, but to do it in this exact same way I think would not be wise.
Brad Baluchian, and again, our guest right now, is the author of The Wax Pack. This book will be out tomorrow. It'll feature stories with Carlton Fisk, Doc Gooden, Rance Mullenix, Steve Yeager, Gary Templeton, Gary Pettis, Randy Reddy, Don Carmen, Vince Coleman, Rick Sutcliffe, just to name a few. Brad, I definitely appreciate the time. I know you're a very busy man. It's a big day for you tomorrow. Before I let you go, please give all the information about the book and where people can get their copy, be it online or at bookstores.
Sure, thank you. So you can go to waxpackbook.com and get more information. You can get it, as they say, wherever books are sold. You can reach me on Twitter at waxpackbook. Love to talk to people and interact and hear what they think.
Brad, thank you so much for the time. It truly was a pleasure to speak with you. Congratulations on getting this work out, and best of luck in the next few weeks with the sales.
Thanks so much, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Again, Brad Baluchian joining us here on Drive Time Sports. The book will be out tomorrow. It's called The Wax Pack, On the Open Road in Search of Baseball's Afterlife. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to talk baseball movies right after this. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports.
This is Eastern Utah's news and weather station. 1073 FM and 750 AM. KOAL, Price.